Good morning.
It's good to be a people who come here today with a motive and reason why to praise God, and then to have that satisfaction feeling of knowing that together we just put it all together as best we could, and God got praised and is still being praised. That is a joy that's perhaps like none other. And we come away from that joy somehow feeling in tune with and right with the purpose for our being on this planet. We were put here for God's reasons. We were put here to please God, and He encourages us in that very theme over and over in Scripture. And so we get the satisfaction today of being the accomplishers, the success people in achieving what we are on the planet for. That God be praised. And I am so glad to be a part of that today. Glad you are here. Glad we can come in the environment of sunlight. That's nice. I love that, especially compared to yesterday. I don't remember many more gloomier looking days than yesterday was. And it was a great day nonetheless, but still I prefer this atmosphere and this sense of being right within the grace of God. And to be able to come here today, I prefer it over what it might have been if we'd had yesterday's weather today. But you are here. God's praised. We are collectively, individually, and collectively so blessed as people. And I just delight in being a part of that. I appreciate the theme for today, that just theme that God be praised. And the scripture we were looking at came from a very special time. Came from 1 Chronicles. And it came at a time when David is closing things out. David, in fact, kind of the title over this section in my Bible, it's like it announces that David is dying. David is soon going to be on David's last words and death. By the title over this in the Harper Study Bible, and I like that. David is done, virtually, and he is speaking to the entire assembled leadership of Israel at this time. And he is announcing to them that his son Solomon will be the one who is going to build the temple. He wanted to, but God said, no, you're a man of blood. It's going to be your son who builds it, and Solomon did. David had made great preparation for it, but David is still a man of God, and he still wants God praised. And so everything that we look at today, springing off that, is so appropriate. We are people of God. And God has purposes and unique purposes for each of His people. He had unique purpose for David and then Solomon who followed him. And each of us who sit here today are in that same role, that same posture before God. We have purpose. Not just generally over everybody. You, me individually. Purpose. God has a purpose for you. Perhaps a little different purpose for me or each of us individually in this assembly. But together we are able to do some incredible things. And to be able, as we say here today, now in time, now, Lord, we thank Thee, our God, and praise Your glorious name. It's a privilege. It's a joy. We couldn't say that if we were totally out of tune, totally out here in the world. Engulfed in and persuaded by the world's outlook on what life's all about, we couldn't do this. That's why they're not here doing it, and we are. Two different kind of lives, two different kind of focus, and we're able to share the best one of those two here together today. We sang a song, "Lifted up was He to die," and He was. We're not going to get far from that today. He was lifted up, ruined sinners to reclaim. And we've been reclaimed. Thus, therefore, again, we are here. I want to be talking about that today. Our God is a creator God. We need sometimes, I think, to focus on words and what they really say. What is the meaning? Not just how words have deteriorated and been doctored and watered down and changed by the time we got to the planet. Many, many words that are in Scripture have meanings that we almost missed because of the developmental a way that we use language, and the words change today, and so we just assume that what it says here is the same as what we say today, and that is not always true at all. Just we almost need to be a people who are careful about words so that we understand what God is saying in Scripture. And one of the things He says in Scripture is that He is the God who created us in Christ. He could have said any number of things. He could have said He brought us to Christ. He restored us, kind of fixed us back up from the mess we'd made of our lives. Sometimes that's how we think. He didn't say that. I need to know He didn't say that. I am not spiritually. Now, physically, I am, okay? A wreck. Just an old wreck that keeps getting patched together. And I was talking to somebody in the back. I keep dropping off parts everywhere I go. A good portion of me has already been buried. A good portion, percent-wise. I got a knee somewhere out there. I guess they buried it. I don't know. I got a hip. It's gone. I got a tooth that I got rid of the other day. I am glad. I hope they buried it deep. I'm dropping off parts everywhere. So physically, I'm just a patched up old broken wreck. But spiritually, that's not the way it is. Spiritually speaking, for you and me, we're not patched up. We are recreated. Which means we're created. Created anew. I need to know that's who I am. Not a patched up wreck, but a created living spirit in good stead with God and capable of coming into His presence, not as a wreck, but as one He has put back into top-notch condition. And if I let Him, keeps me just like that. There's some, just as there is with my cars, there's some policies you need to follow to keep them working. If you don't, they quit. And we have a little of that in this situation because we keep making wrecks of ourselves. In spite of what God does, we mess up, we get attitudes, we do things, think things, don't do things that make a wreck of our lives. And God has made a way for us in our mess up policies and mess up weaknesses that we can be repaired right back to brand new status again, recreated, not just patched up. And if we do that, we can sit here on an assembly Sunday like this, all like shiny brand new, just like we came out of the showroom. Because God does that. He recreates. He doesn't fix up. And we need that principle that's incorporated in the word create as it's used in Scripture. It's the word katizo. I'll be looking at the chart on that here in a little while, just very briefly. But it is a special word, and I need to know that's what I am. I am recreated by God. He doesn't recreate things except perfectly. By grace, you've been saved, as we get to our Scripture. By grace, here is the source from which it all sprang. The reason you are perfect, if you're able to sit here perfect today, here's where it came from. By grace, you have been saved through faith. Big topic there. One of the people that I admire a lot, this new guy I've been reading, F.B. Meyer, makes a great claim that we can't even claim that. We can't even lay claim. I decided one day I'm going to have faith in God, and so that's to my credit, thank you. He says, no way, Earl. It isn't. It was formed in you. All you did yourself, Earl, was allow the power that could create faith in you to come inside. Faith comes from hearing. Romans 10:17, we've read it 1,000 times and don't hear what it says. Faith comes from hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. All you did, Earl, was decide to listen. And He did the faith creating because you listened. You can take credit for listening. You didn't say, nope, don't want to hear God. That's all the credit you get. He formed a faith in you. But by grace have you been saved through faith. And that, not of yourselves. Don't claim you did anything. You didn't do anything except not block God. You didn't put plugs in your ears and refuse to hear God. It's the gift of God. is not as a result of works. You'd think God wouldn't have to tell us this, but he did, and he does. He still does. We still have people, I talk to them all the time, who think somehow, well, I'm going to try to do a little more good things. I need to balance things out in my life so I'll be acceptable to God. So I'm going to put some good things in here and try to reform myself a little bit and do a little better, and then everything will be all right with God, right? Wrong. Doesn't work that way. Not by works, so that anybody can just kind of claim credit, boast about it. For we are His workmanship. Workmanship is the result of somebody who worked. Somebody who took action. Somebody who did something. Somebody who put something together, works at it. God worked at it. And we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. That is such a potent statement. I need to get that in my faith, have it sorted out so God gets credit for what He does and can be praised in that image. And Earl get none. He deserves none. Earl doesn't want what Earl deserves. That would be a horrible plight. If I don't understand that, I can't appreciate God. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Why'd you put me all together like this, God? Okay, I give you credit for all of it. What was it all for? Now what? For some good stuff, Earl. I put you together for some good things. And I prepared beforehand. I had in mind something before all this was even eventuated. I had in mind something before that would be these good works so that you would, or we would, walk in them. The language is so colorful. Walk. Why'd you say walk, Lord? Because I have a path, Earl, that I laid out beforehand. I had it in mind, even back when you were not yet created, recreated. I had a path. I wanted you to walk. I love walking paths, especially when my legs are working. I've walked all my life. I love it. I can see paths that I walked all the way back to when I was a very young man to this day in my mind. I'd like to walk them again. I would enjoy it. Paths through fields, paths through wooded timberland. I still do all that I can. Walking paths. He had in mind a path that we would walk. And along that path, there would be wonderful, wonderful things He had in mind beforehand that I and you individually would walk in. He didn't just pack us all up on one path and send us down the road. Individual paths. But He had a path in mind individually for you and for me, for us to walk in. A way of life. An understanding like that helps God come alive, helps His purpose come alive for my life. And if I don't have it, I'm wandering along like a blind man, trying to find my way and bumping into everything and being frustrated. What a God. Another very steering image of who God is, which we've been talking about, is that of a creator. A creator, not a patch-upper, but a creator who Himself created us anew, brand new. Didn't just patch us up. He created us for a new life path to walk in. He did that at a beginning point. I like this symbol. Just a symbol. Just a graphic little symbol. There's the beginning point. A time came in my life, and I trust in yours, when I said, I'm tired of this. I don't have any real purpose. I don't know where I'm going. I'm trying to put life together my way, and it's not very good. And I find myself frustrated and disappointed in me over and over again. And I need to start somewhere that makes sense anew. And so He let me start anew here. He created a path and put me right on the beginning of it when I knelt at the cross where Jesus died. And at that cross, under the counsel of a dear old Sim Weisenbaker and the counsel of my old dear friend Ed Carter, both of them together, said, "Earl, when you're considering this thing called baptism, don't let what the world says and what critics say and whatever anybody says who see no use in it mess up your mind and heart about what it means. It means you come to a point, Earl, where you're kneeling. Beneath the cross where Jesus died. And in listening to Him, you're letting Him connect you to the death that occurred there. Connect you, Earl, to that death. You're not just getting dunked underwater." I hate those terminologies. They take the sacred and turn it into something silly or junky. It is not junky. It is sacred. We come before God. We kneel at His cross and we hear Him say clearly, messed up again. Where is my scripture here? I don't have it. All right. We'll just read it. Romans chapter 6 was the passage I thought I had in there. And Romans chapter 6 starts out with three words. Don't you know? Paul wrote this to Roman Christians, but God says it to all Christians of all time from then till now, and therefore says it to me and says it to you. Don't you know that when you were baptized, you were buried with Christ? Don't you know you were baptized into Him? Into means into connection with Him. That's what happened, Earl. And so as you were there beneath the cross, you submitted to His own direction and you let Him connect you to the death He was dying, and maybe even picture Him already dead. You let Him connect you to that by a decision you made at His guidance to be baptized. He created us anew right there. Recreative power was placed in the world by the event that we see portrayed right here. Recreative power. Start over from nothing and build it a new power. Create it. Started right here. If anyone is in Christ Jesus, says 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creation. Incorporates the word katizo, and it becomes katisma, and it becomes a noun instead of a verb, and we become the noun. We are a new creation. The words katismo and katizo are never used in the entire New Testament for anything except the doing of God. Not once. We use it all the time. In the story of the wise man building his house on the rock, he didn't create that house. It's a different word. There's numerous cases in Scripture where we might have said create. It's not there. It is only credited and used in relation to the doing of God. He's the only one who could take nothing and make something. And He took me and you. When we, by our own actions, had turned ourselves into nothing, in fact, worse than nothing. We'd smeared ourselves with sin and signed over the ownership of ourselves to Satan himself. We were worse than if we'd never been born. Less than nothing. He took that and created from that nothingness something redeemed, rebuilt, put together afresh out of nothing, because I had nothing left of the innocence and purity that He'd given me to begin with. Nothing was left. It was all gone. It is an incredible concept to digest, and we need to do that in order to be the people of God. We can't do it otherwise. There's an amazing event that took place. It's described in Luke 23. I hope I haven't messed up all these slides. Looks like I messed up a bunch of them. This is the one, though. That's Luke chapter 23. there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour of the day, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Now that event took place on the same planet where you and I live today. A few thousand miles away, I suppose, but still, yeah, it took place. An awesome event. Darkness over the whole land. So significant. The death for my sin of the innocent Son of God and the power therefrom to create me anew took place because of that event. And that event has the power in it when it's understood. If we don't just gloss everything over, try to make it all like, I don't know, second grade logic, where it's nothing to it, you just do this, do that, and everything will be okay. If you take it and look at it in depth as much as you can and let it come alive in you, it has power, creative power, to change you from wherever you are to the image God wanted you to be when He decided you'd be on this planet and then created you anew because of sin so you could be here within that plan. It has that kind of power. It is the power of God into salvation. Romans 1:16, we've quoted it over and over again. What does it mean? Dunamis, power. Yes, dunamis is the Greek word for power, from which comes our word dynamite. It has that. But what does that mean? It means what took place here has the power to impact, get in your heart, take you over, give you new motive, a reason to wake up in the day and go be whoever God has created you to be anew. It has that kind of power. So what occurred during these six painful hours? I want to look at this brief chart. Just indulge me for a minute. I had it here and it's all gone, isn't it? Now there it is. There's my chart. Greek word, and I've already pronounced these words for you, but it's create, and it's the word ktizo in Greek. Those are Greek letters up there, but I can just tell you that you pronounce those ktizo. And the second one is the creature, the thing created, and it's ktisma. And that's there. You don't have to learn Greek, but we do need to know what this concept is and what these words communicate. These words are used, as I say, only for God, only His doing. And it means, by definition, from lexicon, to be called into being. And then in parenthesis in the lexicon that I use, from nothing. Called into being from nothing is what ktizo means. To make completely new. Not take some of the old parts and straighten them up and fix them up. No, just discard them. Completely new is what that word means. And so I need that as a concept when I read that word from my God. For by grace have you been saved through faith. I put this up again so that we get it. And now we see with the meaning of the word, hopefully clearly in mind, what he's saying. God has created a power by which we can become newly created, brand new creatures. And invites us to come. Come to me, Jesus said, Matthew 11. All of you who are weary and heavy laden, tired of your worn out, beat up, wrecked state you brought yourself to, and I'll give you rest. I'll make you new. I'll give you life as I meant you to have it the whole time. And that's His invitation. We live here in a time when people in our culture, you'd have to be a complete dumbo not to see it and realize it. They need by the thousands recreated, made new, start all over. You've wrecked it so bad it can't be fixed. Just let God recreate it. That's the only hope. Hating, that's the culture we live in. Abusing each other, protesting, rioting everywhere. I hear the parkway was jammed up this week with rioters, so I heard, or protesters. Corruption, immorality, self-serving, cruelty. What kind of, what a wrecked life place this is. But wait a minute. That's the same sort of world Jesus came into. There's no different now than it was then. Maybe it's changed a little. Maybe, I don't know, if they're worse, better, not sure. In fact, that's the world that nailed Him up to a cross and let Him hang there 6 hours till He died. Same world. Same situation. It hasn't changed. And still He put in place a power by hanging there that could totally create anew, recreate human beings. He did that. That's who He is. And so in spite of all this, all the culture we live in now, and all the cultures have been on the planet since Jesus was here, where Jesus is bad, maybe worse, if there is a worse, He still created His church. And it is still here. And 200 years ago, approximately, in this country, an effort became in place where people said, we've almost lost it. Let's try to restore it. Let's try to bring it back to its original form as God had in mind. And they worked at it hard, at least for a long time. Even that went astray in many respects. But they tried to restore it. And we are here today in this congregation as a result of some people in the past efforts to be the church, the restored, the recreated people God wanted to have here. That's incredible. That's encouraging. Satan has failed. He hasn't stamped it out. And while our God was creating, He went ahead and created a path for us to walk in with Him. We saw it in the scripture. You see it there. When you see the word walk here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse about 10, he's talking about walking. And walking, it entails a path. Even the word entails a place to walk, a path, a way to go. God put the path in place beforehand. It's there. It's there for you to walk in today. The power of Satan could not take it away. It didn't, and it hasn't. In His beforehand planning, God marked out this path. Along that path are wonderful things to do. He's laid out so many of them, you wouldn't let me have that much time. I can't tell you all of them. There's so many. That the whole New Testament is about that path and how to walk and what to do. What am I going to do on that path? Go read it. It's there almost every page. Maybe every page. Love one another so people will know you belong to Me, He said. John 13. Love one another. That's what you do on that path. Bear one another's burdens. That's what you do on that path. Don't let people walk past and you know them and they're out there and you just, it's their problem, not mine. You aren't on the path. If you are, you aren't doing what He meant people on the path to do. Bear one another's burdens. Care. Reach out. Help. Encourage. Live in harmony with one another. Don't fuss and fight and spat like they do in the halls of Congress and in the halls of whatever the leadership in Pittsburgh is and whatever there is out there. Don't do that. Live in harmony with one another. Romans 12, verse 15. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving each other just as God forgave you in Christ. That's what you do along this path. That's what He laid out for this new created people. That's what it's about. What an incredibly joyous path. God offers it. He's offering it to you today. Maybe you wandered off it. Maybe you let the world put in your head, that's not what life's all about. I know what I want. And you go after it and you wind up flat on your face in failure and disappointment and frustration. Come back to the path. He'll walk it with you. He says that. Did I put that in here? I hope I did. Yes. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. I love that. That's 1 John, by the way. That means you and God are walking together. You walk in the light, He's in the light. That just puts you and God side by side on the path. That is so neat. I love that. And what results? Well, we have fellowship. We have fun with one another. And the blood of His Son just keeps purifying us. We keep messing up, but He won't let me get unperfect. He keeps washing me back to that new recreated state along that path. What a joy. In all of this amazing creating of God, can we just begin to see who He is and why it is so appropriate that we come here, as Jim reminded us, and just praise Him. Just be motivated, build up, energized to praise Him for what He has done for us. And we are such a unique people, not just like Joe Blow walking up and down the street trying to find some satisfaction out there in that dumb world. He says to us, don't love it. If you love it, you can't love Me. My love for Me is not in you if you love that world. Don't do it. Walk this path. I'll tell you a story, and I'll finish up. in my memory. Some things happen in your life, even when I don't have a lot of memories that go back to when I was 4 or 5 years old. Almost, I have a few, not very many. But I have one big one that is stuck there. Pretty clear, really. I can still see the pictures. I still see the old crib. My dad had built a crib. It's an outdoor setting. We're out in the farm. And he took some lumber, whatever he could find, and did a good job on it. Built a little crib for a baby because my sister, little sister Sarah, was now not even yet a year old. And Mom had to get outside, and so he built a crib that you could take outside. It sat on a stand, and it had kind of feet and two posts that went up and a bar across the top, and it would swing. It would swing. Mom would be hanging clothes, and she'd go over and push that thing, and it'd swing a while, and Sarah'd just be happy as a little kid can get, you know, and she could be outside. Well, Earl's now five, almost 6 years old, between 5 and 6, somewhere. It was in the autumn of 19... Let me see if I can get this back. 40. 1940. Autumn of that year, late in autumn. And Mom's outside, and Dad's working, and my other little sister, our next sister, Iris, is out there someplace. But I found me a thing that was just tons of fun. I'd walk up to that crib that swung like this. And I'd push it and say something, and Sarah'd just giggle. She'd just giggle like all get up. And I was having fun. Well, you can figure what happened. I pushed it too hard. And over it went. Broke little Sarah's nose. Black day. I felt like the meanest, most useless, corrupt, defiled little boy who'd ever walked the planet. Dad came in Dad's usual way, yelled at me good. Mom was also showing a lot of displeasure, and she was mostly attending to Sarah, but I could tell I was just the black sheep for sure. Finally, Mom came and found me. I'd gone around to the other side of the house someplace, and I was just sitting there, crushed, defeated. I don't remember this part, but Mom told me that I told her. I don't want to be me anymore. Apparently that remark triggered in Mom, better come to this kid's rescue. And she did. She told me she knew I didn't mean to. She told me Sarah was going to be all right. By this time, my grandfather had gotten somehow into it and had driven his old 36 Chevy into town. Dr. Oliphant was on the way. Everything's going to be all right, Earl. And so Earl was at least somewhat recreated. I thought about that event. When I was holding my mom's hand out in the hospital room, in Natrona Heights out here when she was dying. Endearment took place that day. Between me and my mom, that last till now. Jesus did more than that for you and me and deserves to be praised and have that place in your heart. Is it time, maybe today, that you made the decision to come to the foot of that cross right there and say, connect me to you, my Lord. I'm ready to be baptized. Or you come back to the time today when you say, I'm off that path. He put it there and I've just walked away. I'm not there anymore. That you take up His invitation to just come back and walk in that path, in the light, in fellowship, in joyousness with Him from this point in time forward. If that's you, the invitation is yours.